Video. It's the only way to get what you want to watch when you want to watch it.
Hello, my name is Justin The Clue, and I'm here today with
Mark Hansen.
And you're listening to the Bay Street Video Podcast. We go through all the notable Blu-rays and DVDs live from Bay Street Video in Toronto, Canada. Yes, that's right, a brick-and-mortar video store.
Oh, yeah, and it's all the notable Vinegar Syndrome Blu-rays.
Oh, it's our Vinegar Syndrome part of the month. Wait, so do the Vinegar Syndrome ones, the regular, like, mainline ones, come with the OCN ones? I thought those were split up.
Nah, they all come
together.
That's
so much.
So we place the order. I mean, at least for retailers. Yeah. I don't know how it works, but like we place the orders for their halfway to Black Friday stuff, which we will get into right away, plus all their OCN partner label stuff, which is part of their partner only month, which they do immediately following their sales. All came at the same time. So, and I think they're being all shipped out at the same time.
Interesting.
So that's why we get them all at once. And that's why we have one month or 1 week a month where that's literally all we talk about.
My brother recently said that he went to a video store or like to a Sunrise, which is, we don't have any in Toronto. I think we talked about this a few episodes ago.
Used to, RIP. I used to love Sunrise.
And he bought like a bunch of like 88 film stuff, like a North American release. He's like, it's so expensive. Like, it doesn't feel good. I was like, you know what? You're right.
I feel bad for these places because I really like Sunrise, and I knew if
and my
died.
Poor brother buying
yeah
all these
exactly
because he like bought the Tiger Cage set, which is very expensive,
right.
I believe it was like $90-$85.
They must just not have great suppliers, like for us,
because you mean because the prices are very high.
I think that's what it is, because I mean I see those kind of prices.
Oh, I like that dodge you did as opposed to going yes, physical media is very expensive.
No, I don't think it's that. I think they, because maybe when they shut down and they reopened, maybe they lost some of their supplier, because
they're not buying a lot, so they don't get it at wholesale price.
They're just like marking it up like way too high or something. I think they just maybe don't, like, we've just been in the game for a long time that we have fortunate enough to have a lot of different suppliers.
Mark did an expert pivot to Bay Street. We got the good prices,
we got the good stuff here,
as opposed to my usual like, how can someone afford all this?
Yeah, shh, let's not talk about prices this episode, because there's a lot of prices here.
Yeah, well, so the first one is the John Liu film Ninja in the Closet CIA. Listen, I had to get this one because it is a Vinegar Syndrome archive release. The other one tested that we're going to get to much later.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they're getting, like, there's barely anything on this. Like, once it becomes movie only, I may have to, check out.
Okay. Is that the only reason you got this one?
Well, I also got it because it has an excellent commentary by the co-writer of These Fists Break Bricks. There's an introduction by the guy who re-edited and released New York Ninja and basically rewrote it.
It's just a new movie.
What's this? It's a little short featurette, 11 minutes. The Wonder of Vanity Action Films. Oh, man. I love stuff about vanity action films. A video essay by Justin De Clue.
What?
On Vinegar Syndrome.
I love how long he set that one up.
Yes, that's right. I did a little video essay on here. And when I did it, I realized, oh, why did I do it this way? Where it's like clips from the movie and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's me talking. That's the hardest thing I feel like to do, because I have to write it out and then I have to read it. And then you have to find like particular clips that you're cutting together. But let me say, you get your bang for your buck. Is that like, when I talk, I don't just let a clip play and I talk over it. Like, each sentence is cut to what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Justin is the master at these things, if you haven't followed his stuff online.
Maybe not a master. That's why I like my YouTube videos. A lot of talking heads.
Well, hey, you're getting the work now.
You know what? And I got this work because of the great Bill Ackerman of the Supporting Characters podcast. He interviewed me a couple years back and they reached out to him and said, hey, can you do something for this video? And he's like, I don't know anything about this. Speak to Justin De Clue. He knows martial arts stuff.
That's so awesome.
Very much appreciate him for doing it. It was great working with Vinegar Syndrome. This movie is very weird.
Okay. So how does it compare to, I didn't get
New
a
York
chance
Ninja?
To check this out. New York Ninja, because that was a big release for them.
Is it weirder like than it?
Deal.
I would say there's higher highs than New York Ninja.
Yeah.
There's a scene you can see on the back of the cover where like women are trying to have sex with him and like he's just trying whatever he can do in the forest not to like break his concentration.
Yeah.
It's that kind of movie, very stream of consciousness.
Okay.
Like near the end, it's like, oh, I guess he's in Paris now having sex with new women. Hence, the vanity action thing trait.
Yes.
The thing with John Lewis, he is a very problematic individual.
Well, isn't he a real life sex pest?
And so like when I did
it's a little hard then, yeah.
When I did the video essay, I was like, okay, how do I approach this?
Yeah.
And Vinegar Syndrome was very good at being like, you know, just give us a video essay. Great. No links, no topics. Okay. I was like, all right.
Well, clearly, I mean, they took a bit of flack, I remember, when New York Ninja came out. Well, that kind of got
discovered. They got ahead of it because nobody said anything, and they got ahead of it. And like, even looking for information about it's very difficult unless you're deep in the Kung Fu forums. But like, I was aware of that making this video.
Yeah.
And I hope people enjoy it. I've been looking at like Blu-ray reviews. Like, has anybody talked about it? Nothing yet. Except for Will Sloan, who said, I very much enjoyed that video essay.
Well, I will definitely want to. I want to check this disc out, just to check out the Vanity Act, because you know I love my vanity projects too. So that's the perfect thing for you.
Oh yeah, and this is like the most vanity. Like I kind of break down what makes a vanity action film. Like so, I discuss that, and at one point I even go into like a philosophical like, are vanity action films the truest movie you can get, or the saddest as well? Because like the person is presenting who they think they are, but by doing that, what they're revealing is they are not that person, because they have to put it forward to the audience being like, look how cool I am.
Yeah.
And it will automatically ring false because you know they're not that person.
Exactly.
So watch this video if you want that kind of philosophizing.
Totally. I'm fascinated. What's your favorite vanity action movie? Is it one of these?
Is it one of the John Woo films?
Yeah,
absolutely not.
Right?
Probably something like
Miami
there's
Connection,
so many, like
there's
Empire of the Dark.
Oh, Empire of the Dark. Yeah.
I know you haven't seen it.
Thing.
Fight of Fury may be my favorite vanity action film.
Yeah, no, I've is that the newer one?
Yeah, that's the one with
I
the guy
that,
in LA.
Shuni B. Yeah. I did watch that. I watched that because you told me to watch
it. Because that one is like almost like a Godard film, and there's so many little jokes like the way that like flies land on him when he's doing his monologue. At one point he gets a giant dog that enters the room and I'm like, is this a dream?
That was very funny.
Get Even.
That's a classic. I mean, Vinegar Syndrome's put out a bunch of
the family who did Parole Violators.
Right.
That's one Vinegar Syndrome. They need to get on that. But
the
Parole Violators, like they're backing that up with genuine, like just bone-breaking stunts.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some other ones. There's like Razor Sharp is another one that I discovered on Tubi.
Oh, okay.
So there's like a lot on Tubi. But
Tubi's the best place for this.
The perfect vanity action film is someone that is talented, pushing themselves to the extreme of like, who do they think they're fooling kind of thing? Like John Liu was a genuine martial arts film star. But the story his ego was so big that like people were like, we don't want to work with you. So he went and made a bunch of his own movies.
Right.
And he's like, I'm the star. I created my own martial arts system.
Yep.
Like, I'm going to go around the world, bed women. Like, that is as far as you can go in that direction.
Exactly.
So, and most vanity action films, it's usually only like one or two movies because you can't sustain that.
What
unless
about your guy that you like, Stuart something?
Stuart Paul.
Yeah,
I love Stuart Paul.
Would he fall under that realm?
Absolutely.
I still got to get into him. I've got that stupid John Voight movie that he was in.
Deadly,
that he made.
Yeah,
Deadly
Lessons, I think.
Where it's just John Voight's decrepit face
now,
staring at
do you
at
know
me.
There's two versions of that cover. There's one where he's all beat up, and there's one where it's normal John Voight.
Yeah.
Collect
I've
them
got
all.
The normal one on Tubi right now.
You got to watch that. You'll watch
I will.
It. And
it's just like the 2.5 hour running time is like scaring me a bit. Not that like,
you know what? You'll watch it and you'll be like, I wish it was 4 hours. Like, you'll want more.
I know I will. I know.
And that guy's been making movies since the 80s. Because he's part of, like, the family that, like, they own Echo Bridge.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
There's one movie I showed during my marathon, Heaven and Hell, the 24-hour summer movie Mind Melter. And that was one he shot in 1994. They didn't release it till 2017.
I feel like Echo Bridge put that out.
Yep,
too,
they did.
They, right?
I think they probably completed it. He has one called Eminon, which is No Name Backwards, where he plays, like, a magical homeless man. But I'm not joking. It ends with a fashion designer going, oh my gosh, we need to use your look. So it's like the hobo chic joke. And he gets crucified at the end of the movie.
My God.
So, yeah.
All right.
It needs
to
be seen to be believed. And especially, like, Deadly Lessons has, like, a Michel Legrand score.
Okay.
It's shot on 35 millimeter.
Yeah,
like,
that one I'm raring to go on.
Yeah, I would recommend them all. I even got one of them on Laserdisc because at the time it wasn't available. Now you can find it on YouTube. But, like, I was early in the Stuart Paul.
Right, right. Yeah. No, you've been talking to me about him
he
for years.
He does terrible horror. He did a found footage film.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, something
I gotta get
viewing.
Into this guy. I don't know why I've slept on this guy for so long.
Maybe Justin's like, Justin's hyping it up too much.
No,
popular.
It honestly wasn't that. It's just like, I had Deadly Lessons was the one I was going to go for just because it was on my list. And then I just kept avoiding it. And then they dropped it off Tubi for a while. And I was like, I forgot about it. It's back on now. So I got to get on it.
And his delivery of every line, it's just.
Oh, yeah. I've seen clips that you've posted over the years. So I know I'll like it.
Next up, this is Mark. No, Mark's shaking
this
his head.
No, this is me. This is normcore, though, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, it's too popular.
Point. But I still love it.
You love it.
It's Showgirls on 4K.
You haven't been burned yet where you're like, ah, too many people like it.
No. You know what? With this one.
It's been popular so long.
I genuinely think. I was never one of those people that thought it was like so bad it's good. Like, I genuinely think this is a masterpiece. So, I mean, take that for what it will. I mean, it's Verhoeven. And I always think it's crazy that people even thought this was like bad in the first place when Verhoeven had made like satire after satire after satire. That was like huge before then, but I mean, we've all talked about that a million times.
I mean, it's been covered since it came out on DVD. It was like a bad movie commentary
thing with like the pasties thing and everything, the whole
like this is nothing new. It's not being rediscovered.
No, this is just, I mean, this is the definitive release of it now, although there is a slight manufacturing error.
No, what happened?
Slight audio issue with the 5.1 surround mix. It's okay. Vinegar Syndrome got ahead of it. They're being really great. Replacement discs are on the way. But this set is gorgeous. I mean, even if I wasn't
but
as
I
crazy
about
this
But I have the big DVD
movie,
set that came with the shot glasses.
Okay, so I never had that.
No,
I have the Blu-ray, just the standard Blu-ray. But this just looks so, even just on the shelf, this looks
I'm going to be honest.
Gorgeous,
I like Showgirls, but I find it such a deeply unpleasant film.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair because it is, and I know people take issue with the rape scene.
Near the end, yeah, yeah.
In a movie that is very campy and, like, good times and over the top, that does kind of, like, put a downer on things. Although I do think it fits in with
the world that he's presenting
for, and it works for me.
I don't have to sell Showgirls.
Yeah,
like,
look, I'm a Verhoeven fan for life. I'll justify anything he does. I rewatched Hollow Man again recently. I'm like, chef's kiss.
He's commenting on the fact of what somebody may do if they became an invisible man.
That's the thing. Watching Hollow Man again, I was watching with my partner.
That's another deeply unpleasant show.
Yeah, we're like, you know, with the rape scene, the molesting scenes, I'm like, yeah, it's like he walks a fine line. He plays it for like...
But he likes it, though,
but
like
also,
the exploitation, like...
Is it that unfathomable that if a white guy or if just any straight guy became invisible, isn't that what they would do?
Probably,
they would go around being a sex pest.
Don't they
or
make an excuse
or...
where they're like, his brain is rotting from the
inside?
Well,
yeah, that's how they kind of justify it, like the gorilla before. But like, I think that's just what would happen. I think that's what he's going for. I feel like a movie like Hollow Man was compromised a bit because he didn't have.
Oh, was
much.
It?
I don't know.
It feels like he's.
I feel
the,
like
the,
he can't
the,
go
the naked breast being massaged.
I feel like he had a little less control because Starship Troopers and Showgirls were kind of like bombs, you know. So.
Oh, I love Starship Troopers.
Oh, I mean,
I think Starship Troopers is
the
perfect
film. Yeah, we need a major. I mean,
well, they
I
keep
guess
putting it
is.
Out.
They
actually.
Keep doing
yeah,
like
yeah.
4Ks of it. But anyways, Showgirls, great, love it. Always loved it. You know, it's too bad they couldn't include Showgirls 2 on this release. Because Wild Eye has the rights to that.
Really?
Film. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That would have made it perfect. But as it is, this thing is beautiful.
Continuing on, we got some box sets from Vinegar Syndrome.
Oh, yeah. They went big on their sale. Lots of big
the
releases.
The Apocalypse Tetralogy of Pyotr Zulkin. Zulkins. So these are movies I don't... Like, I look at them and I'm like, have I seen these?
Yeah.
Because I believe they're Polish, right?
They
Gaga,
are, yeah.
Obi, Oba, Golem, War of the Worlds.
And then I love that one's just War of the Worlds.
Yep.
It's great.
I started one. I was like, I don't think I've seen this. I mean, there's another one in this pile that I was like, have I seen this? I was like, no, I haven't.
Definitely not.
But I love these kind of movies.
Yeah.
This is the way to do it. You put them in one box set.
Hey,
I'll
no,
buy
I agree.
It.
They could have done it with the Wojciech Kosz.
Yeah,
stuff,
and just broken and them up over a bunch
didn't.
Of months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
here you go for like $60. You get a really nice package.
What is going on? Why is this being released by Vinegar Syndrome? Why isn't it being released by one of their partner
think
labels?
This would be like a Deaf Crocodile thing.
Yeah,
that's what I would.
Or even
say.
Yellow Veil because they're doing the Polish films.
I think I don't know. I'm not sure. I know there was something because isn't there a European release of his films that contains? It's another really nice
I don't know.
Box set. I remember when they announced this, one of the Vinegar Syndrome guys was talking about how it compared to a European set that was also really good that had some of the same films. Not sure. But this set, like, it just looks gorgeous. Even if you don't know anything about these movies, it's like, you want these on your shelves, honestly.
Do you?
I do.
Mark says
look
that a lot.
This.
I don't think I've ever
look
said, it looks great
is.
On your shelf.
Doesn't this look gorgeous?
It looks gorgeous.
It looks gorgeous.
But they're all stacked on my shelf, and they're, like, on top of each other. Like, I try to make it look nice. Somebody did come in this weekend. I was like, wow, that's a lot of Blu-rays. It's usually the highest.
Yeah,
like...
wow, do you have a life?
But you know what? It's all about you looking at it and going,
exactly.
That's nice.
That's what it is for me. I just you know,
you do not have a shelf of Blu-rays.
I do.
Is it, like, above the TV?
It's not
like
as expansive.
10.
Yeah, I know. I got to redo. I don't have a whole, like, room full of them, which
your,
I wish
your
I did.
Shelf. Well, I
a
do have
a
room full of
just
them.
Just in boxes.
That's the office, so I have my computer and where I make
exactly.
the Blu-rays and
yeah,
the scanner.
It's the movie world.
Next up, we have Village of the Damned, three horrors films from Spain. I'm a big proponent of like, give us films from other countries.
Yep.
Now they put them together, and the issue with this kind of stuff is like they did it with Hong Kong, with like three Hong Kong category three films, and I'm like, oh, those are three stinkers. Yeah. So, but I'm not familiar with these, so maybe they're good. I looked online, and some of them are very well reviewed and like perceived. I mean, I bought it. I'm gonna watch these.
Of course, you will watch these.
Yeah. I hope so.
What, years down the road, maybe.
Yeah, once Blu-rays. You know what? It's gonna happen one day. The companies are gonna be like, "Listen, we went too big. We're shutting down. We can't continue to keep going. There's no more money for this. They just stopped making Blu-rays and Blu-ray players."
And then you're gonna be like, "Well, I guess I gotta watch all these ones I have already."
Oh, my house collapses over the hell.
They all go up in flames or something.
God, don't say that. No. Hopefully I'm insured, and I look forward to arguing with the insurance company who are like, it doesn't have that much
value.
They're
not valuable. Yeah, they are. I spent so much money
on these. You didn't file anything about this stuff? Listen, we go through life and, you know, things are replaceable at the end of the day. But people, the relationships, the time, dear listener, you spend with us, that is priceless.
And that's a way to say we appreciate all your listens.
Yeah, that's right. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Please, God, for the love of God.
Next up, we have Bogey Creek 2, and
Bogey
the legend
Creek
continues.
2?
Oh, I always say
it
wrong.
Is it called Bogey?
No, it's not
Boggy,
called Bogey.
Right?
We had this exact same conversation when we did the first one, Bogey Creek 2.
Okay.
This movie's not good.
You know what?
This?
I'm going to come out and say, I quite like this movie.
Do you prefer it to the first one?
No.
It's very goofy.
It's very goofy. And that's kind of why I like it. I'm also a major proponent of Charles B. Pierce, so
I love Charles B. Pierce.
I'm just going to defend anything he makes.
Everything?
I mean, everything I've seen.
Oh, I love The Town that...
I mean, he made two masterpieces to me. Original Boggy Creek and Temp Dread and Sundown.
And then, like, the other one, like, what is it? The Evictors?
The Evictors, which is, like, on the disc. Yeah, I have that Show Factory thing. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll get around to rewatching that someday.
And this one, I...
I like this, though.
I hate to say this. I only know this, and it's the only time I've seen it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't make eye contact. As a Mystery Science Theater 3000, Phil.
I watched this.
One of the few I've seen that way.
This has been haunting Tubi's database for years.
Oh, has
it? It's just always been on there. And you know what? Honestly, in a fairly decent looking rip.
Because the one on Mystery Science Theater, of course, looks like shit.
No,
it's like full
screen. The DVDs always look like shit. I'm glad it's out in like a nice edition. You know why I kind of like this? Yeah, it's goofy. I like how it's almost like how Book of Shadows Blair Witch 2 did like this meta thing for the sequel.
Yes.
He kind of does the same thing here. He stars in it.
Oh, does he star? I don't even remember that. All I remember is like, if you want to see some Bigfoot, there's a lot of Bigfoot in this movie.
Basically how the first movie is kind of like a faux doc. It's a mockumentary, right? This one is like any other kind of like fictional Bigfoot movie at the time. But Charles B. Pierce plays the professor taking a bunch of students out into the wilderness to look for the Fuchs monster.
Yeah. Doesn't it turn into like a siege film in the last act? I remember
kind
that.
Of, yeah. So they get involved with a bunch of hillbillies, and one of the hillbillies has Bigfoot's
son or daughter,
like captured.
Or them. Yeah.
And so it actually culminates in a really nice, heartwarming moment where, the professor and his students release, get rid of these hillbilly fucks, get them out of here, release the child back to the mother. And they kind of have a bonding moment. They're like, they look at each other and they acknowledge each other's humanity, and it's nice.
Not all Bigfoot movies have to have penises ripped off, like Night of the Demon 2.
Exactly. I mean, if you want, in terms of great, like, trash Bigfoot movies, Night of the Demons probably.
Night of the Demon, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, just singular demon. But I've always had a lot of love for Boggy Creek 2, and I just like that it looks nice.
Yep.
It looks nice VSA here.
Enough love
another weird
to
VSA
buy
choice,
this
though.
Release? No,
at
don't lie
point,
to me.
At some point, I mean, I bought the first Boggy Creek.
Yeah, if I was a millionaire, don't they keep threatening a 4K restoration Blu-ray of that?
Well, no, we get them direct from
Mrs. Boggy Creek herself.
Daughter.
Yeah.
And she keeps saying there's a 4K coming. I'm like, great, let me know when. Never.
Yeah, they're working on it.
But I bought that Blu-ray because.
Now, what made me hesitate about this one was like, commentaries of cryptozoologists. I'm like, okay, I don't know how.
Yeah.
That, you know what? I like that kind of stuff, but that's usually like a second commentary for me kind of stuff. But that's it.
There's like, not much on this.
No featurette about like Bigfoot movies or.
And you know what? I would have gladly done a video essay, Vinegar Syndrome people.
On Bigfoot movies?
On Bigfoot movies, because I love my man Bigfoot or woman Bigfoot.
I did one on the Creature Bigfoot. From Black Lake one that Gil Ninja
did,
video did.
Which is also a great. I love Creature from Black Lake.
Yes. Pick it up from one. Synapse. They put it out.
Yeah, I would say.
Or pay hundreds of dollars for the Gold Ninja video.
That's in my top five Bigfoot movies. But I love Bigfoot movies, always have. I'd love to do a video essay on them. Vinegar Syndrome.
Contact Mark Hansen.
You never contacted me.
Yep.
I would have patted out this boggy creek too thing.
We've talked about this before, is that like they have their people that they go to over and over again.
I get it. I'm being facetious. I understand why I'm not the first choice, but.
You're not being facetious. You're like, please.
Hey, if anybody's putting out a Bigfoot movie at some point, let me know. I'm into it.
Next up, we have Night Screams. Never heard of this movie.
Me neither.
Looked it up online.
You watched it though.
Yes, I did. I'm building it up. I'm creating suspense,
Mark. Sorry. I cut you off.
I think I said we could even do this for a blind buy this week.
Yes.
But we did not end up doing it.
Yeah, because you forgot about the OCN stuff. Yeah.
And I hesitated, because usually these kind of 4K releases, I'm like, oh boy. Like, if I haven't heard about it. What interested me is that on this movie, the second disc, they're like, oh, it's the pre-release version that has never been put out before.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I'm interested in this. It's because the movie wasn't long enough, so they actually went in and added like scenes from other movies. So any review you see of this, most people's main complaint is that there's like 5-ish minutes of just like random footage from like a porno from Graduation Day, the slasher.
Okay.
It just kind of like interrupts the film.
Yeah.
And they took all that out in the other version. Gotta say, I had a blast with the slasher. Like, I was genuinely surprised watching. I'm like, the characters are so over the top.
Yeah.
There's a kill every 5 minutes.
Okay.
It starts with,
that's what you want.
These two escaped convicts that, like, kill everybody in a restaurant in, like, a stunt-filled, like, boom, squids going off. Then they hide in the basement for 80 minutes of the movie quoting Shakespeare and killing anyone that comes down.
Okay.
There's, like, a party going on. You like all the characters. They all have their weird, like, things.
Yeah.
There's, like, a guy. There's two friends who won't keep giving each other high fives every time they meet and stuff like that.
High five.
There's a twist that was spoiled by me because I started watching the like making of, which is 90 minutes on this documentary.
All right. I mean, that's why you love Vinegar Syndrome, right?
But you know what? I will say to people who maybe they looked on Letterboxd and they're like, people are kind of lukewarm on this one.
Yeah.
3.5 stars. I had a blast.
A lot of
like
fun.
This is what I want when I like get some of these and watch them as a blind buy.
Yeah, I admit that a lot of these just kind of you know, that I let my eyes glaze over when I see some of these.
I think we said,
if
it's an
80s
slasher film we've never heard about, there's probably a good reason.
I feel like it's just going to be whatever. So I kind of just forget about it. But I'm intrigued. Mm-hmm.
The dialogue, this is the perfect movie that like the Shock Marathon Motown Boys would have loved.
Okay.
Because like everybody talks almost like a parody of stuff.
I like that. Yeah.
They're so old. They're like in their like mid to late 30s. Yeah. Like all these teenagers that are having a high school party.
That's what I love. I love when you have grown adults.
There's really funny red herrings. Like the star quarterback, his parents are like, we didn't give him his medication. And he's like, has anger problems.
That's great.
So they're like, is it the star quarterback? Could it be the two robbers in the basement? Is it somebody else completely different?
Hell yeah.
And the kills are like, someone gets electrocuted in a tub. Someone has their face smashed in a grill and then like pulled off.
Oh, I like
head
that.
To the
like
knife
that.
To the head. So, well, right. Our blind buy instead is, do we need to put a moratorium on like doing Saturn's Core blind buys?
I mean, we haven't done one in a while.
Okay. Well, this one
we're checking in with Saturn's Core again.
At Dawn They Sleep. I mean, I love Saturn's Core.
Me too.
And you picked this
Me
one.
Too.
You were like, Saturn's Core. And I was like, okay.
Well, I mean, you initially, it was a kind of a light week before we got this Vinegar Syndrome stuff in, and you had kind of suggested watching the new Guy Ritchie movie. And
yeah,
like,
you agreed, and you were like, you messaged me 10 minutes later being like, please,
don't
make me
make it.
But then
I looked into it some more, and I'm like, I'm going to hate this movie, and I'm just not going to have much to talk about it, because I just feel like I don't really like Guy Ritchie, and I haven't seen a Guy Ritchie movie in years and years, so. But I knew this stuff was coming in. I'm like, well, you pre-ordered this one. So I'm like, okay, that means you have some more interest than ones that you pass on sometimes. So let's go for it. I feel like it's been a while since I watched the Saturn's Core one.
And
so here we are.
With this one, you were like, I would like to see the illustration of a young man in 1999. Everything that he likes. I mean,
well,
I don't
see,
know if I would call this
first,
a vanity action
film. I didn't look it up before saying, let's do it. And then I looked it up after. I'm like, oh, it's a vampire movie. Okay, maybe this was not the right one to do. Then you sent it to me and I watched it. And I was like, Well, at least I can relate to this this portrait of 1999.
Oh my God, this is so 1999. Brian Pollan. So
this is called At Dawn They Sleep.
This keeps happening with these Saturn Corn Wood. I look at them and I go, oh, I know who made that. Yeah. And then I order it and I get it and I'm like, whoa, this is not what I thought it was. Yeah. But Brian Pollan, I do know him. He made a movie called Bone Sickness, which is basically a guy vomiting for 90 minutes. He's made a lot of movies, Brian Pollan.
Like Fetus, lot of gross.
I got to say that this is one of my favorite kind of films. I'm trying to look for the terminology. It's almost like an unfiltered film where it's like, everything I like is in this movie. Brian Pollan had clearly just seen some John Woo movies.
Yep.
Some Wuxia films, which nobody was doing in 1999.
Yep.
You see at one point someone's looking at a laser disc of A Bride Was
Waiting. Oh, I know, right?
And so it's about, and definitely some Quentin Tarantino films.
Definitely some From Dusk Till Dawn. Yes. I'll say that. Yeah.
So the way that...
Have you seen From Dusk Till Dawn?
It starts, and it's a shot on video movie.
Yep.
Shot on digital. It's got that digital sheen to it. 1999,
it's
people had digital cameras.
Y2K era, so it's like right on the cusp.
It doesn't have that kind of like crunchiness of the shitty mini DV camera that I had. It's about Brian Pollan and what's the name of his friend in this movie?
I don't remember. I literally just watched this and I don't
remember. Play like drug dealers and a deal goes wrong. No, they get bitten by a sexy vampire.
Yeah,
at one point.
Well, first there's like, deal gone wrong. It's a big shootout in like a warehouse type thing.
Every stunt in this, I'm like, someone could have died doing that.
I appreciated the action stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's super fun.
Like, this is full on an action movie for 30% of it.
Wild action scene.
Wild action.
And like people catching on fire and like crashing into real
there
things.
There is a wild car chase at the beginning of this movie where Brian Pollan is on the...
And he's like skidding his car.
And they clearly have like a fake set house thing.
Yeah.
And he runs through the door and then the car just comes plowing through
They
afterwards.
Do it at the end too. Remember when they're super powered vampires?
Yeah.
They like throw each other through a wall.
And I'm like, wow, these guys built some actual sets for this and then drove cars through it and stuff. There's like a car crash at one point.
So the Brian Pollan style, I would say, is that like he loves his gore and sex scenes. So like when those start,
there's a lot of pervy stuff.
You're like, you're in it. So if like someone's like, oh, and like melting, you're going to watch him melt for 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I was ready for that. So I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was super fun.
Yeah.
And it genuinely surprised me as well.
I agree.
As it
This is all to say, I had a great time with this.
Yes.
I think we both had a good time with this.
This is the kind of movie I want to see when I watch SOV films, where it's not like, oh, you know, you're limited by what you're doing.
Yep.
You don't really know what you're doing. It still has kind of that. Like, it doesn't have, you know, he's imitating Hong Kong. So it doesn't really have the pace for it. But when you show me like a guy like flying by shooting himself in his garage with smoke on his face, but like a black bat, love it. Love it.
Love that. Like, I love that he equally wants to make an action movie and a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's just wants to do it all.
And also something. If you want to pleasure yourself to it, you can do that as well.
Like an erotic movie. Yeah.
Yes.
Also like softcore porn a little bit. You know?
I want to know where he met all these women to just come and be in his movie.
But that's often the case with these Saturn's Core movies, I find, right? It's like, we watch these and it's like, where are all these women are just willing to just, I mean, I guess.
You know what? They're probably actors
the
that they contact.
Too, you know? And I'm sure there's a lot of, I don't know what the ethics of a lot of these productions are.
Well, I feel like they're probably, the women are aware of what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, in these things, I think they are. But yeah, it's just they're all willing to just take their clothes off and, you know, get bloody and like nasty in these movies. And it's like,
I will say that
I think the actresses are good in this, though.
Yeah. The thing about like Brian Pollan's movies, I don't know if he would say this himself. I listened to him on the commentary of Bone Sickness. Very cool, like, guy in the sense of fun to listen to him. His movies are kind of humorless. But that also makes them fun in a different way.
Yeah, they're kind of unintentionally funny. I find him an interesting presence.
Are they funny, though? Because, like, the final sequence of this movie, I'm like, this has to be a joke. Where, like, an angel woman has sex with a skeleton man.
Yeah.
What do they keep cutting? Is it a muskrat that's in a tree they keep cutting to that's staring at them?
But then at the same time, I feel like he's really, like, in it, like in his vision.
Because, like,
this,
and then
so...
the skeleton jizzes and, like, shoots out
so,
of its mouth.
We're watching it, like, this has got to be funny. But then I'm thinking from it from his perspective, like, I think he's just really into this vision.
And he's the most 1999. He stars in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Long red hair.
He's
soundtrack of just black metal the entire time.
I know. He kind of reminds me of somebody, like, a red haired actor from the 90s or something. And I can't, maybe it's the guy from Children of the Corn or something, like the Outlander guy. He's got that look. But you're right, the 90s-ness, like the whole soundtrack is like late 90s death metal that's just like screaming. Gotta say, I loved it. I was kind of half expecting to be bored by this or to like just stop paying attention at a certain point. Kept my attention the whole way through, which is, you know, more than you could say for some other SOV.
I didn't even know that there's a whole other feature film he directed on this. That's 94 minutes.
Yeah,
that he shot in 1994.
Yeah, which is very cool. And yeah, like Saturn's Core, since they're a partner label, they do a great job.
The art on this Blu-ray is hilariously classy.
It is. It makes it look like, wow, this is a real... It makes it look like some lost European
art. Have you seen the original art? Which is exactly what I... Yeah, just like a vampire wouldn't be like, oh, it's like a stock image.
You know, that's what I love about Saturn's Core, though. Saturn's Core is that they do really nice, classy art for stuff that never did that.
But that's how you should do it.
But that's how you should do it. And I just, if nothing else, I love the art they do for every single one of their releases, even if I don't really like it that much. But this was a pleasant Saturn's Core release to step our toes back into. Mm-hmm. So I will recommend this.
I will recommend it as well.
Absolutely.
Next up, we have Prague Nights. I got this. Didn't have a chance to watch it. It looks like, is it Def Crocodile?
Yeah,
it is indeed.
I figured, I don't know, it's another typical Def Crocodile
it's
release.
It's an anthology film.
Not that that's a bad thing, because they do really great work. Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. It's a Czech movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Prague is in Czech Republic.
Yes, I understand that.
Sorry.
Just clearing it up for people
just
that may not know.
Just being a dick.
It could be called Prague Nights and
be
like
it could be
a Chinese movie.
It could be anywhere, you know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Lots of fun special features on this. A new video interview with Czech film critic and screenwriter who her father was the director or co-director of this film.
Okay.
Cool. And there's a new audio commentary with Czech film experts. Animated short films the director made. Ooh, if you made animated short films, a live action film is probably a little odd, I would say. I'm excited to watch this one.
Yeah, Def Crocodile does great work. Keep on going.
All right, it's time to get to Mark's Arty Corner.
This is Mark's Arty Corner, and I'm going to spotlight a release from Connie, who we talk about every once in a while.
Yeah, even though, you know what, I say
really
Arty
like
Corner,
Connie.
This is a Hong Kong film.
Yeah. And it's actually produced by Johnny Toe, which I didn't realize. But it's not a typical, well, I mean, what's a typical Johnny Toe movie? But maybe not what you would associate with Johnny Toe. It is a kind of just, it's a youth drama. It's like about four 13, 14-year-old girls in Hong Kong, late 90s.
Oh, it's category three, though.
Category three, because, and before I watched it, I saw somebody describe it as kind of like a Larry Clark film, but like...
You love Larry Clark,
love
right?
Larry
of course.
Clark. I know he's problematic, but, you know, I love him.
And your problematic auteurs. I saw a recent review on Apple Podcast where someone's like, love the podcast. Does Mark always have to say that everyone's bad? And it's like... Yeah, if they're bad, I think we should talk about it.
I think we both do.
We do, and we also say, like, you know, you can still appreciate or enjoy their work.
That's the thing. I very much like a lot of these bad men that make these movies.
You like the movies of those. Like,
yeah, I don't like them personally.
Would you befriend Vincent Gallo and hang out with them?
No.
No way.
Can you even socialize with somebody like Vincent Gallo?
No,
I don't think so.
Mark is an idiot. He knows nothing. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact Spike Jones quote. We were talking about Spike Jones, and he's like, he's no cinephile. He knows nothing.
Yeah, I know, right?
He hated Spike Jones so much.
I gotta find that radio interview.
Oh, it was a radio interview?
It was some radio podcast thing. Ridiculous. Anyways, this movie, though, is called Spacked Out. Love the title. Directed by Lawrence Lau, who I don't really know, but maybe
I don't know. Doesn't
a lot
ring a bell.
Of credits. Done a lot of gang-type movies, some triad-type stuff that I could see, but I'm not as familiar. But this is very different. Like I said, kind of like a Larry Clark movie, but from a feminine perspective, because I think it was written by three women. Mm. I might be wrong on that. But yeah, four girls and just kind of their day-to-day life as they're like doing drugs, going to, you know, hang out with guys. One of them gets pregnant at a certain point and they go into the city to get an abortion. But it's kind of framed as like, before going into it, that's going to be the primary narrative thrust. But it's not really. It doesn't even happen until like later in the movie. The actresses are really great in it. Really beautifully shot. It's got a cool score. It is very much like, like almost like Kids, but in Hong Kong with four girls in the late 90s. And I didn't even realize it was Category 3 movie until after watching it. And it says that on the front here. It's only Category 3, I guess, because it deals with like mature issues with younger characters.
Yeah.
It's not like that explicit of a movie. It's not really what you think of when you think of Category 3 movies. But I would say definitely check this out. Anybody who is into like especially like the late 90s wave of like youth dramas and stuff.
Oh, wait, really I forgot to put Undefeatable was put out by Vinegar Syndrome.
Oh, it was,
right?
Yeah.
Because you talk about Category 3 films, made me think of it because that film in the special features, love that set. If you like Undefeatable, you need that movie.
Right,
the,
I hear
the
it's
Godfrey
fun.
Ho film has the alternate cut, which some may say is better because it has 30 minutes with Robin Shu, who is not in the original version, doing tons of fight scenes. In one of the interviews, the villain of that film, you've seen Undefeatable, right?
I have not, actually.
Well, you haven't.
Never have.
The, featuring the best
People
fight scene of all time.
I gotta watch it.
Well, the actor in one of the interviews who plays the villain says at one point, like, he tried to do everything that they wanted, like stunt-wise, but then Godfrey Ho asked him something that he wouldn't do, and he's like, I won't do it. And Godfrey's like, you got to do it. And I was like, what is he talking about? Like, was it a stunt? Like, some crazy thing? In the commentary for the HK cut, an excellent commentary, would highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Gold solo commentary. The guy says, Godfrey Ho asked him while they were shooting a scene, and he was directing behind camera. He's like, all right, now Raper. And the guy's like, stopped, and he's like, I'm not doing that, man.
Yeah.
And because supposedly that is one of the big selling points for Category 3 films.
Right.
Which is why, like, Naked Killer, the second one's called, like, Raped by an Angel.
Jesus.
Like, if you look at Hong Kong movies, Category 3 films, rape is in so many of the titles, and they're filled with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So is there any of that in this that usually gets a Category 3 rating?
No, not at all, actually. I think it's just because it's basically these girls, they do drugs. Mm-hmm. One of the characters has sex with another guy and then is pregnant. They just talk about more mature things. A lot of bad language in it. Obviously, they're cursing all the
time. You can get a Category 3 rating.
There's no violence in it, though. It's just
language.
Like, yeah, I think it's language and like sexual content. And just mature themes in general, drug use, stuff like that. And I think just the fact, because they are all like 13, they're not even like, it's not even like Larry Clark stuff where it's more like 15, 16, 17. It's really like they're 13 years old. So it's really young, but
great stuff. Next up, we have The Queen of Hollywood Boulevard, which Mark is like, this is good.
This is cool. This is the last partner label release and then we can move on. This is from Dark Star. It's a newish movie. And I will warn you right off the top, it's a Nepo Kid movie.
No!
But I can sort of get behind it because it's Orson Oblowitz, who is the son of Michael Oblowitz, who is...
Oh, that's a big guy in the industry, isn't he?
Well, he's now, like, recently he does, like, DTV Steven Seagal movies. But at one point, he was part of the No Wave movement, like Jim Jarmusch and all those guys.
Oh, what did he direct?
In New York. A movie called King Blank. More underground stuff that...
That's barely
he never
a Nepo Kid. Yeah,
never
yeah.
became. Like a Jim Jarmusch.
I thought when I heard that, I was like Michael Ovitz, like the big.
No, Michael Oblowitz.
Okay.
But yeah, in the recent after in like the late 90s, early 2000s, he went into the DTV world, made a lot of Steven Seagal movies,
really
Val Kilmer ones, just bad movies.
Oh, yeah. Some real bad
now
ones. Out for a Kill, The Foreigner.
Yeah,
you posted that clip of The Traveler.
He did that.
The
one
Jeffrey
with Val
Combs
Kilmer.
Film, The Hammerhead, where
he turns
his cancer-ridden son into a shark man.
Yeah. But before that. And he did
the Billy Zane film, This World.
Yeah, and then the fireworks.
Yep.
So he did some interesting stuff. Now I think he just does like surfing documentaries.
Interesting. How do you go from doing No Wave to Steven Seagal films?
Because I think you just kind of, I think a lot of those guys just got into the industry. The No Wave thing kind of blew up with Jim Jarmusch and everything.
It looks like it was a pretty slow build because he has his King Blank movie, 1983.
He had another one.
This World. Then The Fireworks was the second one, 1997.
Yeah.
So there's a big break between both of those.
I think he did music videos. And stuff.
Oh, he did.
He worked on either music videos, commercials. So I guess he sold.
And then there's The Breed, which is...
Yeah, that's...
Who stars in that? Adrian Paul, the Highlander himself?
So yeah, at that point he starts
Western,
going.
The Foreigner, Steven Seagal.
I think This World, Then The Fireworks was the last real movie he tried
How
to like,
checked
make
out
that.
Do you think he is? Do you think he still goes into debt?
Well, he actually was interviewed in... the first Randall Emmett piece, not the one about all of his misdeeds, but when they did that piece about the geezer teasers a few years back, they interviewed Michael Oblowitz in it, and he talked a bunch about how horrible Steven Seagal was.
Wow.
But yeah, so he actually was interviewed a bunch.
Mark.
Yeah.
There's a new movie coming out that he directed.
This guy?
No, Michael Oblowitz.
Yeah, Michael Oblowitz.
I don't know if it's come out yet. But it stars, you know what? It's like a yin and yang for you.
Yeah, okay.
Dominic Purcell. You're like,
I don't really like him.
Kate Bosworth.
I like her.
And Mel Gibson.
Ooh, well,
you love him in movies, though.
Mel is Mel, you know?
Yep.
Oh, wow, okay.
During a crack epidemic, two narcotics agents hunt for a cop killer.
What's it called?
Confidential Informant.
Oh, I've heard of this. Has
it come out?
I saw a press release about it, like, it's coming out, or they're making it or something. I don't know if it's out.
There's only one review on Letterboxd, June 26th, so it's probably coming out any day soon.
Ooh, I'm ready for it. Ready for it. We'll talk about it in like 2 months on this podcast.
He also did a horror film, The Gansfeld Haunting. That seems like something you would
see. Haven't seen it.
Wow, people do not like his movies.
I've heard of it, yeah. But at one point, he was like a No Wave guy.
The Traveler is a Christmas movie.
I know. I don't want to say big fan of The Traveler, but I have a soft spot for The Traveler.
Oh, okay.
I do own The Traveler on DVD.
Wow. All his films have one star. Yeah. Like, once
The Traveler's got a hilarious premise. It's just Val Kilmer walks into a police station just looking ominous and everything. And he's like, I killed people. And then they lock him up and everybody starts to die in the in the police station. Not bad.
Wow.
Anyways, back to this movie, though. This is his son who has started building up a little indie career of his own, and this was his, I think, his first movie. He's done another one since, which I also really liked, called Five Rules of
Should
Success.
Vinegar Syndrome start a Nepo Kid label?
Sure.
Because they put out a few, right?
What would you call it? Just Nepo Kids?
Yeah, just Nepo Kids.
But also, this is about a 60-year-old woman who owns a strip club, a legendary strip club in LA, and it's kind of a day in her life on her birthday as she's like the mob's after her and all this stuff happens. Really good, though. And the woman who plays the lead character is the filmmaker's mother as well.
Cool.
Who also starred in a bunch of Michael Oblowitz's No Wave movies. So she's back.
But none of the Steven Seagal movies?
I don't think so. Maybe. Who knows? Her name's Rosemary Hothchild, I think.
Hmm.
Anyways, I don't know. I saw this back. I saw his newer movie, and then this was on Tubi, so I watched it years ago, and I actually really liked it.
It's from 2017, so it's a little while ago.
Yeah, it's cool. I would recommend this, and his newer movie is called, I think, Five Rules of Success. I played at Fantasia a year or two ago. I don't think it's come out since then, but I hope it does, because that's also very good. I like this guy. It's a Nepo kid I can get behind.
Next up, we have The Game Trilogy, The Most Dangerous Game, The Killing Game, The Execution Game. I haven't seen these movies. Yeah, I'm familiar with the director.
This is an arrow set I knew nothing
very
about.
Very cool, though, that they're putting them all together like this. The director deserves... he made a movie, I think it's called Reflections of the Golden Wolf, which is really good. Okay. And they put all these movies together, and they're following my notes. There's a commentary on each film. There's an interview with the director. Like, you're getting the context you need for this kind of stuff. Commentaries from different people on each film, which is interesting. So, yeah, I had a moment. I went home. I grabbed some stuff last week, and I went, I want to watch The Game Trilogy. And I was like, where is it? I don't know where it is.
Yeah, you never picked it up.
No, I didn't. And I found my receipt, and I was like, oh, thank gosh. I didn't lose it somehow like the other
one. Because I was a little surprised. With these arrow sets, I usually like bring in an extra copy.
I got too much last time.
Justin will probably get this. And you passed on it, so I'm like, oh, maybe it's just not worth it
I had too many things in my hand last time. Yeah. No. I grabbed a release that is coming out soon that was very expensive.
Ooh, yes, you did.
But that one's going to sell like crazy when you put it out.
Oh, I know. It's probably going to be gone by the time we talk about it.
Is that next week?
Yeah, it's going to be our next episode.
Okay.
Yep.
So next up, so it's coming out this Tuesday.
Come out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. It'll probably be gone by the time we talk about it next Tuesday. And you ain't getting any more.
I'm down to talk about it, though. It's a good one.
Next up, we have Vanilla Sky. Have we talked about Vanilla Sky?
I feel like
we did.
Probably.
You love Vanilla Sky.
I love Vanilla Sky. First time on 4K.
I'm having memories because I tried to share that clip that somebody made of Tom Cruise falling. He put him on a skateboard to make it look like that he's skateboarding.
That's good. I will say this was my number one favorite movie ever when I was 14 and first saw this.
Oh man, have you seen Vanilla Sky?
Yeah.
You gotta check it out.
I had a poster. I had the poster on my wall.
Wow.
The big laminated poster of it. I was obsessed with this movie when it came out. And I will say, I even prefer it to the original Alejandro Amenábar film.
It's pretty close, though.
It's pretty close. But you know what I think elevates this? And it's weird because I don't usually like Cameron Crowe. I think he's fine, but I don't.
Are you
really
gonna say
care.
The meta nature of Tom Cruise being in this role?
I like the pop culture-ness of this one because I think
immediacy.
It works better for the movie. I think having all these pop culture references and stuff, which the original doesn't have at all.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
The original one being kind of cold.
Cold. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I saw this first before the original, so maybe if I'd seen it in the reverse. But yeah, I found the original a little drier. I wasn't.
That was a Spanish film, right?
Yeah, and I like Alejandro Amenábar, who made it, who went on to make The Others and a bunch of other films. But
who made Thesis? That's somebody completely different.
That's him, too.
Oh, that is him. I really
like
Thesis.
That. Great movie. Yeah. So I like him, too, but I honestly prefer Vanilla Sky. And I realize it's not my favorite movie anymore, but I still have such a soft spot for it. I do think Tom Cruise is really good in it. I like Cameron Diaz a lot in it.
It's sad that Tom Cruise will never make movies
great
like this
Kurt
anymore.
Russell's in this. Tilda Swinton's in the great cast.
Cameron Diaz hamming it up.
Penelope Cruz great in it. You know,
oh yeah, they were dating at the time.
It was a big like tabloid thing at the time. I just remember this time period really well, so maybe that adds to it. But gotta love it. I did.
You gotta love it.
I did pick up the Paramount Presents Blu-ray of this.
Oh, that's right. They put that out,
which we didn't get in here.
So you paid an arm and a leg for it.
I imported it from whatever, and then this came out.
It's so cheap.
And it has the Blu-ray disc in it. So I opened a copy up for rental, and the Blu-ray disc is the Paramount Presents disc. It literally, and it's cheaper than what I would have paid. What I paid to import.
Like even
it.
Just cost on the Paramount disc.
Exactly. So, but whatever. I the Paramount Presents one's nice too. And I don't have a 4K player yet.
Next up. We have the movie that's been making the rage, Skinamarinky Dinky Dink, Skinamarinky Do. That's what this movie's about,
that's
right?
That's what it's about. It's about Sharon. It's a biopic of Sharon Lawrence.
What is Skinamarink? It's a game?
I think it's just a children's rhyme. Isn't
oh,
it?
Is it?
I think
okay.
that's what.
I haven't seen this movie. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Is it because you don't want to see it, or you just haven't gotten around?
I pulled
to
the mark.
It?
Got too popular too fast.
That's
and
fair.
I was
that's
like,
fair.
Eh.
I will say I did see this kind of before. Mm-hmm. I got a screener of it before.
I liked it
came
before.
Out,
it was cool.
So. But I see what you mean. It kind of blew up really.
Yeah,
fast.
Very fast.
And it does seem like this movie polarizes people. It's either like people love it, think it's like the best horror movie in years, or they think it's like the most boring piece of shit that they've seen.
My
forever.
Favorite thing about this movie is the director being like, "Leave me alone" on Twitter. Like, please stop
sending
me messages.
Well, he got so bit.
Yeah,
well,
so big, so fast.
It was his own fault, though, because he did say, like, DM me, and I promise it'll take me a while, but I'll get
oh,
to everybody
I didn't see him
in a
do
while.
That. Yeah.
And then at a certain point, he's like, "I'm so sorry, guys. I can't respond to all these
I remember
DMs.
That,
I have to turn it off."
Peace and love. Peace and love.
Peace and love. I don't, you know, he seems like a cool guy, though. I don't mind. And
he made this movie for nothing?
He made this movie for nothing in his house in Winnipeg,
I think Winnipeg,
I
believe.
Yeah. And I'm one of those people that loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was really creepy. I did watch it. It would have been cool seeing it theatrically, but I did not. I saw it at home. I watched it at
home. It came out on Shudder and then played theatrically, didn't it?
No, it actually played theatrically.
Oh, okay.
It played like festivals.
Oh, no. I remember what happened.
Stuff.
This leaked.
It got leaked.
Yeah.
That was the that. It kind of blew up
what
on
what an asshole
well,
to do
blew
that.
It blew up on like TikTok and stuff because it got leaked and people
isn't
were
that wild? It's
it.
Like you leaked an indie film,
I
even
know.
Though the argument would be like that's kind of what made it famous, I bet.
Well, it did make it
famous. It did make it famous.
It was getting talked about in film circles online for months before it came out.
Yeah.
But then it did huge business, too. So it helped it.
It's weird, but because like, I would never tell, like, if someone's like, should I leak? It's like,
no,
not do that.
And you know how it got leaked, too? It got leaked because it was one of the festivals it played. It wasn't Fantasia. I think it was one in, I want to say, South America or Europe or something. They did the virtual platform.
Oh, and someone recorded
somebody
it.
Somebody hacked the virtual platform.
Oh, really?
And got it and I guess this was
you could
like,
do a screen record for
I guess
most
this
of
was like
too.
The biggest thing I don't know but I really liked it. I watched the screener I had on like on my laptop at like dead of night headphones
don't know
on.
What
I tried
on.
To recreate the experience and it scared me man there were moments I jumped out of my chair so
wait Lois or is she in this
and Bram
they're
all in it
oh wow
they all star in it
oh whoa no, it's like no. a it's a long gap sequel
well, you see it's about these kids and the ghosts of Sharon Lois and Bram
whoa people not from Canada are like what are that's a Canadian thing right
it is a Canadian okay thing, right? but anyways great movie
the revenge of Sharon Lois and Bram
it is very much a mood piece you gotta stick with it if you're not into this kind of thing I get it but it worked for me I liked it
I love the idea that like it's so weird
it is
and that like it's unconventional and it was
and
such
it
a
blew
hit
up. Yeah it made a lot of money compared to it was like a Blair Witch Project
aren't you
style
excited
hit.
For all the movies that will try to imitate this
know,
now
that's the thing this is gonna be so imitated
yeah
but it looks great and to, all the,
what,
and to all the people that are like, oh, it's just shots of doors and walls. Like, whatever. Get out of here.
I wonder if someone could scientifically program, like, Blair Witch, and then how long did it take for Paranormal Activity?
Yep.
Because it's like the world wants one every couple of years.
Exactly. And this is just, I do think this hit at the right time. Mm-hmm. Maybe if this came out.
It was during lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah. Maybe if this came out, like, 5 years ago or 5 years from now, it wouldn't have had the same effect. But it just hit at the right time. But I think you're right. The leak. It helped it, I think. I wouldn't advocate it.
Would not
it
recommend.
It helped it.
Now, next up, we have two movies that are being released on DVD. So this is
DVD only on this
thing.
Bad boy.
We're talking about these movies. This is a stopgap release.
It has to be,
absolutely
right?
Someone at OCN is putting this out.
Well, I'm not so sure about that.
Oh,
so,
no. Dark Star has it.
Dark Sky.
Dark Sky has it.
Which is not an OCN.
And they did say that they're doing a physical media release. Okay. Yes,
so
they did say that.
I figure a Blu-ray will be coming at some point, but I watched these recently, and we've got the DVD, which is actually an Australian import from Umbrella.
It is the third Saturday in October, part five, and the third Saturday in October, the first one.
Yeah.
These are not real movie series.
No.
So, like...
And the third, and the part five... is supposed to be watched first.
Yes.
What, right?
Yeah, because that was...
Because that's what I watched.
Right. I'll explain the plot for these, because I saw these a long time ago. I don't believe you've seen The Nobodies yet, right?
I have, yeah.
Okay. Do you like The Nobodies?
I do. I'm maybe not as crazy about it as you are, but I
love
I do like
The Nobodies.
I appreciate it a lot.
Which is only available from Troma, unfortunately, in a DVD.
Terrible DVD, yeah.
The aspect ratio is incorrect. And the director, after doing that, which is kind of like a homage to SOV movies mixed in with some mockumentary, but done seriously, he's done a straight-ahead slasher with The Third Saturday in October, part five.
Yeah.
I like this one. I wish I liked it a little bit more. I wish it was like a little wackier.
Well, I'll say this. I think after The Nobodies and now with this, Jay Burleson, the director, definitely has a feel for like... retro aesthetics for horror. Like, he knows, like, with The Nobodies, he'd had that, like, SOV kind of regional, or I guess it wasn't SOV or whatever, the regional filmmaking thing down. These feel like, you know, 80s, 90s slasher movies.
Yes.
Apart from that, they just kind of feel like any old slasher movies, though. I'm not sure.
Well,
apart from the conceit, the meta
I appreciate
conceit
what
it.
He's trying to do in the first, like, so what happened was he shot. He shot part five, and then they had money left over, and they did part one.
Okay.
Which is why part one feels very, like, elegiac and slow,
right.
And the shots go on a long time. Because
I would say I preferred part five, but maybe that's because I watched part five first.
Yeah.
And then part one seemed just, like, more of the same,
it's interesting,
I guess.
Like, you would watch part five first, because I would say almost watch part one, because that's almost like watching the...
How, yeah, they put part
they're actually
on.
Presented on the back as one and five.
Okay. But on the front, it's five and one, look.
It's very confusing, because Umbrella does not tell you... They present this as just real movies.
Yeah.
Real movies in the sense
do,
that, like...
Yeah.
A lost slasher film from the golden age of the slasher genre. October 1970. That's not true.
That's not. It's a new movie.
I think it could fool people, though. And then even shoot part one on film, but it looks like it was shot on film.
It does,
film.
Yeah. No, they look great. I really like the looks of both of these films. The part five is supposed to be like early 90s look, too, right?
So my only thing I would say is that, like, it's not as... What word am I looking for? Not transcendent as I found The Nobodies.
Yeah.
But it is a solid slasher film. And compared to, like, most slasher you would, like, find on Shudder or something like that.
Way better. I thought the kills were great.
Yeah.
The gore effects were really good. Mm-hmm. I thought the characters were engaging enough that I got into it.
I think it has a really good last act, too, when it starts to turn into a chase.
I like the killer. I think just as a slasher movie as a slasher movie fan myself, I just got a kick out of these.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I preferred these, to be honest, to, like, Ty West's, like, X and Pearl kind of thing.
Well, the problem with Ty West, and I believe we talked about this before, is that, like, he doesn't seem to like those movies.
Yeah,
and he's basically said that in interviews. Where
he's
like, I'm not really
he's
a horror guy.
Like a little highfalutin.
Yeah, and, like, Jay Burleson, he loves
these
movies.
You can tell he loves it. He gets, like, really into the kills, the gore, and I appreciate that. And it goes by those exploitation things, but it doesn't feel like grossly exploited
either. And it doesn't also feel like a grindhouse movie.
No.
Like, as in, like, we're making fun of this.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh, I do not like that.
It takes it seriously. So I just had fun watching it. But yeah, I think it's not as clever as you might think, knowing, like, what the conceit is going into it. Because I kind of thought they were maybe going to play with that a bit more.
Yeah,
sure they did. But I like the idea of, like, oh, there's these two... lost slashers that are just like random entries in a series too, because you're like, wow, how many of these did they make, right?
Well, that's why if you watch the first one first, I like that because it's a more serious one.
Yeah.
And then part five is like, if you did the natural evolution of a slasher, this is what it would be, which is like sillier, wackier, because you've done it so many times, you have to elevate it in some way.
Although it seems like you're meant to, I don't know, I went on to IMDb, and the way IMDb listed is that the first one follows the fifth one. So I'm like, okay,
well, it's because they made the first one second.
Fifth one for, yeah.
Yeah.
And the fifth one does start saying, like, oh, the original one is lost and we'll never found that.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, we did find it.
Yeah.
So I guess you are technically supposed to watch the fifth one first, but it doesn't matter, really.
No.
You watch them in any order.
But I would not recommend picking up this DVD set, because this is going to get a Blu-ray release.
Yeah, so I was a little skeptical, because Dark Sky doesn't always put their stuff out on physical.
I saw somebody asking on Twitter a couple months ago, and they said, yes, it is coming out.
Because they've done some really interesting movies over the years. They actually did a really cool, like, different found footage movie called Landlocked recently, which has never gotten a physical media release, and I wish they would. So I kind of thought with this it might not, even though they had it, which is why I brought in the Umbrella release. But yeah, there's no features on this, it's just DVD, but we rent it, so if you just want to see these, come on by, because I think if you're a slasher fan, mm-hmm. they're worth a watch.
Is it not on Shudder? I think it's on some streaming service, isn't it?
Is it?
I don't know.
Dark Sky, I mean, it's definitely on VOD, because Dark Sky does all their stuff on VOD. I don't know if it's on Shudder, though.
Mm.
It's probably going to be on some streaming service at some point.
And you know what? When it's released on Blu-ray, we'll talk about it, because
I'd love to see what they do feature-wise. I hope they would do some features for it.
Somebody take the nobodies out of the death grip of Troma.
Yeah, and somebody needs to do a better
And, like, Troma, like, I think make the filmmaker sign, like, lifetime contracts. Too, unfortunately.
But Troma's doing Blu-rays of some of their stuff now, so why
I wish
can't
they would
do a
put
Blu-ray
it out.
Of that?
Yeah,
we get Blu-rays of, and like their newer stuff they're doing Blu-rays of. So,
and if they could go in and put the movie in the aspect ratio it's supposed to be, so it's not stretched out to 16:9.
I remember when I watched The Nobodies, I didn't change my aspect ratio. I was just like, oh, I guess this is how
it's like weirdly stretched out.
It's like not that old of a DVD. Either.
No, it's just they didn't know what they were doing. I think whoever saw it is like, oh, this is supposed to be widescreen, right? And they did it, and then they just shipped it off, and they made.
Yeah, because I kind of assume any DVD after like 2005 is like automatically like anamorphic, but it's not.
It's on. If you don't want to buy the DVD, it is on Troma Now
streaming service, right?
So you can watch it there as well.
Yeah.
So that's it for the Bay Street Video Podcast. Until then, my name's Justin the Clue,
and I'm Mark Hansen.
Keep on buying.
Keep on renting.
Nepo baby movies.
Nepo baby.
These movies and many more are available at your local video store.
What would those
good,
be?
Good Nepo kid movies.
Sophia
Coppola.
Yeah, I can never
Coppola,
say Coppola.
Like.
Coppola.
Yeah, I think it's
start saying
I think it's Coppola,
and I'm like, I'm saying it wrong.
I always say Coppola, but I think it's Coppola. I love Sophia Coppola. Apart from that,
what about
there's more.
There's Roman Coppola made a bunch of movies. Who can forget Inside the Mind of Charles Swan III?
I never saw that actually.
What?
I know. And Charlie Sheen.
It's real bad.
Because I saw CQ and I didn't really care for it.
Yeah.
So
well,
I
he just writes movies with Wes Anderson now.
Yeah, he does,
that's what he does.
Right?
Yeah.
We talked about Larry Fessenden's son.
Yes, well, that's what made me think, because
like,
the Yellow Veil put out his movie.
Yeah, right? So I thought that was okay.
Oh, we talked, of course, Frank Grillo's son.
Yeah.
It did that Charlie Manson. Well, these are not recommendations for people who are listening to the podcast for the first time.
Okay, so just any Nepo kid.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
There's so many. Sam Levinson's a Nepo kid.
Wait, what's his? Is he doing The Idol? Is that his show?
Yeah.
Which
just looks awful.
No, thank you. Okay, well, what are the good ones? Sorry. Like, that's harder to think about.
There are good ones, right? I know there's good ones. We're going to think of so
And
many
I don't want to, like, if you're, like, you want to be a filmmaker and your parents are filmmakers, like, it's not.
Yeah.
You just got to be aware of it and not fight it.
Right.
And, like, if you're asked about it, you're like, yeah, I got lots of opportunities.
That's the
other
thing.
People,
I don't inherently hate Netflix.
Unlike some
it's
of the Steven Spielberg children who are like, I got here all alone.
Well, that's it. It's the ones that are just. I hate when they come out. It's like, no, you don't have to say this, but when they come out and like, oh, it's just as hard for us as it is for anybody else. Like, don't even start with me. Right?
Because it's not.
It's not.
But they just don't know anything else,
even
right?
Like this guy, the queen of, like, yeah, your father's like making DTV Steven Seagal movies now.
But he knows people who worked in movies.
He's still in the industry.
Yeah.
You can still raise money for you. Like,
or give you some tips or stuff like that. That's all it is.
That's all it is. So
I think it's people don't want to be invalidated of like, oh, what I'm doing came easy to me. And it's like.
I think it's like a triggering thing for them. It's like, oh no, you're making it seem like it's a bad thing, but it's not my I can't choose how I was born.
And it's true. But then you just have to admit it. So that's all.
Just be chill about it.
Like me and Mark, because we're so handsome, we have to go around all the time being like, it's tough being so handsome.
It's not my fault.
It's not my fault. If I could, I would scar myself.
Right?
But my handsome visage would just come through right after. Can we think of? I'm trying to think of any other Nepo. Nothing comes to mind. Really.
I know. There's a bunch that I really like that I would be like, yeah. Oh,
I'm trying to think of like vapid LA movies, because that's what they always make.
Right?
Because that's where they're from. And Brandon Cronenberg. He's a Nepo kid.
Cronenberg.
So. Yep.
We talked about him. Who's
like nice guy.
He's
very nice guy. And I think he would admit it if he was asked.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. That's the thing. I don't feel like with somebody like him, he'd be like.
Yeah. of course. Oh, I have way more opportunity.
All myself.
And he struggles a lot to make movies, but like he would say, look at the movies I make. Like they're very similar to my dad's movies.
But that's
like,
probably how they get made, right? Mm-hmm. Like you probably
do you think he has like some romantic comedies and they're like, could you put some body horror in this? Yeah, maybe.